Good morning, beloved, and welcome to our study in Jude. And this is part 27. We're going along gradually, slowly, but I hope that you're enjoying the Bible study as much as I enjoy preparing it and getting ready for it. Before we continue, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can study your word, and thank you, Father, that we can read and understand, because you've given us your spirit that dwells within us, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity that dwells within us to enable us to understand the Word of God. It's amazing to think about that. Please open up our hearts to receive your Word this morning. Open up our minds to understand and enable me as your servant to teach your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We are busy with Jude. We're going to read verse 8 to 10 again, because we are still busy with what the false teachers says about fallen angels. Eh? What the way that they interact with fallen angels. And we are busy specifically looking at the names of Satan. All right. So let's read verse 8 to 10 of Jude chapter 1. Well, it's actually just the one chapter. Now it says, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh. These are these false teachers that Jude is speaking about. They reject authority, speak evil of dignitaries, which means they speak evil of heavenly beings. And verse 9 says, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these false teachers, nah, they speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things, they corrupt themselves. All right, so that gives us the context once again. Remember, they speak evil of dignitaries. And the reason why they speak evil of dignitaries is they've got their own idea of who Satan is and who fallen angels are. They have their own idea concocted in their own minds. Could be doctrines of demons. They've got these ideas that they have. That's why you will hear these false teachers very easily say, I rebuke you, Satan, or Satan, I cast you into hell. We looked at those kind of things. So they speak evil of dignitaries. But Michael the archangel, he did not even do that. All right? He said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Well, he didn't even say Satan. He said, the Lord rebuke you. Right? Speaking about the devil. So who is this Satan? And this is what we've been looking at. What are the names given in the Bible for Satan? Now, last time we ended off with the name, he's the ruler of the air, or he's the prince of the power of the air, we find in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Let me just read it to you again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, this tells us something about Satan, the nature of Satan. Satan is a spirit being. Eh? He's not a physical being. He's a spirit being. And Satan can only be at one place at one time. He cannot be all over the place all the time. Satan is not omnipresent. Satan is, he's a single created being that can be in one place at one time, even though the fallen angels that fell out of heaven with him, that was kicked out of heaven because of their rebellion against God, the pride that was found in Satan, well, in Lucifer, that, and his name was changed to Satan. Those fallen angels are all over the place. We don't know how many fallen angels there are. What we do know is that a third of the hosts of heaven, a third of the angels of heaven, fell out of heaven with Lucifer. All right, so there could be quite a few, quite a bit of fallen angels. Now, they are all over, and they are in a hierarchical system. Right? If you read the book of Daniel, you find out about the prince of Persia. That is like an authority, an angelic being, a fallen angel, obviously, but that has dominion over Persia at that specific stage. And so there will be these kind of princes over different areas. Okay. We don't make a doctrine out of these things, but we take note of these things. So chances are there's a prince over South Africa. There's some or other demonic being that controls South Africa with a host of demons that basically works with that specific prince of South Africa. Okay. So at the end of the day, what we need to understand is that Satan is ultimately the prince of the power of the air. Okay, he's the ruler of the air. But there's something that he does that is profound, and that is that he controls unbelievers. Paul said to the Ephesian church, he says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, before God made you alive. Remember that Paul says that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, all right? And then he says, and he made you alive. But before, they used to walk according to the course of this world. They looked just like the world. They did the things of the world. They were acting like people of the world, right? But not only that, they not only walked according to the course of this world, but they walked in accordance to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience that used to work in the Ephesian believers when they were unsaved. All right, so Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's a prince. Okay, he's got a, like the prince of Persia, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He is over all these other princes, over all these demonic beings. He is the head of them. All right, and he's spirit in a sense, which means that spirit that is in Satan, this evil, godless, hateful, wicked, name it whatever you want, that spirit is working in the sons of disobedience. Those who have not been saved, his spirit is working in them. All right, so he is kind of the one that moves these demonic beings to do things in accordance to his nature, his fallen nature, his evil, wicked nature. All right. So that's basically, he's called the ruler of the air or the prince of the power of the air. And before God saved us, we were all under his power, just like all the unsaved are now under his power, under his kind of authority, and he can do with them whatever God allows him to do. All right. Then the next name that we have for Satan that we find in the scripture is Satan. Satan, which basically means adversary, it means enemy. Revelation 20, verse 2 says, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. All right, this is the devil that is loose over the earth, that can deceive the nations of the earth, and the angel that has the key of the bottomless pit comes, grabs the devil, throws him into the pit, this bottomless pit, and then bounds him for 1,000 years. All right, but Revelation 22 tells us, 20 verse 2 tells us that he laid hold of the dragon, so he gives him the name. He's the dragon of the book of Revelation. He's the serpent of old. He is the devil and Satan. Now, the name Satan occurs 34 times in the New Testament. And Satan is basically present in this world, and he tempts both believers and unbelievers. He's kind of the one, as I said, when we speak about the prince of the power of the air, he's the one behind the pushing of people to get them to become disobedient to God, to kick God out of constitutions, for example, or kick God out of government institutions or out of governments. He's behind people tempting people to sin against God, to do all kinds of evil. He's behind that. But not Satan in person. Remember that. Not Satan as that created human being, angelic being. He can only be at one place at one time, but these demonic beings, they are all over the place. All right, so he basically tempts people. He's an enemy of anything that God created, anything that is beautiful and pure and righteous, He's against all of that. But then he's also an opposer. No? He's an adversary of believers. He stands against us. So you will find that you want to do something. Let's say, for example, you've got these wonderful intentions to do something for the Lord. And then the next moment, you just experience something opposing what you want to do. And then you can know that the chances are this is the adversary, the opposer that opposes anything that is good. He's trying to oppose you to do what is right. All right. So, and that's just something that we need to understand with regards to Satan. That Satan is an opposer of anything that is good. Okay. And because he's an opposer of anything that is good, we are going to experience opposition. We will definitely experience opposition. All right. Because it's important for us to understand that. He is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, because he wants to destroy anything that's good. Right, then he's called in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. He's called the serpent. Now he says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation chapter 12 tells it so beautifully. And what did Satan do as the serpent when he came to Adam and Eve as in the form of the serpent? He came to deceive Adam and Eve. In fact, what he did was he deceived Eve, and then Eve spoke to her husband, and at the end of the day, they both sinned against God. They were both disobedient to God. So the serpent that was in the Garden of Eden is nothing, no one other than Satan himself. It is the devil. Okay. But it's interesting what Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says. He says, he deceives the whole world. So please don't ever think that we are not faced with serious deception. Because it's what the serpent did to Eve, he is still doing today. The thing is just, now he's deceiving the whole world, where in the Garden of Eden he was deceiving our first parents, Adam and Eve. All right, so he's deceiving the whole world today. And it's because he's the serpent in the Garden of Eden. All right. When I was at university, I remember our Old Testament professor, my mother was with me when we did this this one class, and he actually said that the serpent in the Garden of Eden is not the devil. So I don't know how in the world he gets past Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. I don't know. Because it says very clearly, so the great dragon was cast out. And we know the dragon, according to Revelation 20, that the dragon is the devil, is Satan. It says that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. So it's so clear. The serpent of old, the one that was in the Garden of Eden, is the devil. It is Satan himself. But then he's also called the son of the dawn in Isaiah 14, verse 12. The son of the dawn, which just basically means beautiful. Now, Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? You see, the son of the dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. He was this beautiful angel created by God. And when pride was found in him, he wanted to be like the Most High God, then he fell and he lost his beauty. But angel can still come. Satan can still come to people as an angel of light. And that's why so many people fall for him, because even though his beauty is now tainted, I think he still has something. He can still, come to people as an angel of light. He can come to people with beauty and all these kind of things, when in fact it's actually deception. Right? Because his nature is evil. He might have beauty, but his nature is evil. I've, through the years, I've I've seen people. You find people that are so beautiful. They have this natural beauty to them. You know, they're so beautiful. A woman, for example. I've met women where you look at them and you think to yourself, "Wow, this is beauty beyond wow. It's just amazing." And when you get to know the person a little bit better, you find out, oh, but the inside of that person is so ugly that it actually just covers the beauty, the outer beauty of that person. And this is Satan, I believe. Satan has got this outer beauty, and he catches people with that. But inside, his nature is evil and wicked. But then he's also called the strong man in Luke chapter 11, verse 21. This is what we read. He says, "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace." Now, a strong man, basically, or the context here is where Jesus was speaking and telling people about the strong man that needs to be bound first. Nah? If a strong man is in his house looking after his things, somebody that's stronger needs to come in and to bound that person and to basically take that person out of the house to be able to take control of that house. All right? When he says here, when he guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. So if a strong man basically looks after his own place, then his place is actually safe in the sense of nobody can break in. Must be somebody that's stronger. Now, in the context, Jesus was actually referring to himself, the third person of the Trinity, as the stronger man that comes in and casts Satan out. All right. But in this context, the strong man that he was speaking about is Satan. So Satan is called a strong man, and that's what he does. Satan takes hold of people's lives, and he becomes a strong man in people's lives. He's like, it gets a stronghold in the life of people. And normally it's through lies. Né? That's the way that he gets a stronghold in people's lives. Through lies, through deception, and sin. When a person sins, that person gives a foothold to Satan, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, that Satan gets a foothold in that person's life, and that person is now not controlled completely, but is now being influenced by a strong man that has kind of taken a possession of a part of their lives. Right? When a person is demon-possessed, that means that Satan has completely taken over that person's life, that person's will, that person's everything, and he's now the strong man in that person. That's going to happen, by the way, to the Antichrist at the end of the day. Satan will take complete control of the Antichrist. He will be completely demon-possessed. You'll find places in the scripture where demon-possessed people are described. For example, that man that was at the graveyard, they even take off their clothes and they become completely mad. That's somebody that's completely demon-possessed, because Satan becomes the strong man. In those people's lives, you can actually see what Satan's nature is like, because the people become just like the demons that takes possession of them. In the years that I've been involved in helping people by God's grace to see the truth of the gospel, to share the gospel, and I've seen people being delivered from demonic possession, I've just seen how the strong man that was in them, how that strong man gets kicked out by a stronger one, which is God the Holy Spirit. It's just amazing to see, and how that person just becomes free. And you can see in a demon-possessed person that evil nature of Satan that is in that person. And once they get delivered and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in that person, there's a completely different spirit in that person. It's just amazing to see. All right, but then he's also called, and this is the last name that we're going to look at, he's called the tempter. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "Now when the tempter came to him," and this is how the Bible describes Satan, because it was the tempter who came to Jesus. Nah? "And then he said to Jesus, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" Remember the big temptation that Jesus went through after fasting for 40 days? Satan came to him, and he's called the tempter. Because what Satan tries to do is he wants to get people to sin. He wanted Christ to sin. He wanted Christ to fall down and worship him. He wanted Christ to do what he wanted him to do. He wanted Christ Jesus to become obedient to him. He tempts people to be disobedient to God and to be obedient to him. But he does it in disguise. He does it in such a way because it's always covered in deception. All right, so in here he was, Satan was trying to kind of get to Christ on the side of pride. Now he says, if you are the Son of God, then command these stones to become bread. If you are. So if you can't change these stones into bread, then you are not the Son of God. You know, that kind of thing. And a normal human response would be, I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll do it. And that's exactly what Satan wants. But Jesus, obviously, he knew the word. He is the Son of God. He's God incarnate. And because Christ knew his Father, he could say to Satan, that go away from me. Huh? That was just amazing. Now, as we looked at the names of Satan, I don't know if you've noticed, but there are two names for Satan that kind of stands out. The one is called Morning Star, and the other one is called the Son of the Dawn. Now, the Morning Star and the Son of the Dawn. Now, these two names were actually used for Satan before he was thrown out of heaven. All right. This actually describes Satan in his as he was still in the presence of God. Okay, there he was called Morning Star, Son of the Dawn. But once he became Satan, those names does not apply to him today. All right, and by the way, just a reminder that Satan did not choose a name for himself. Nah? All the names that we see basically for Satan were given to him by God. All the names. Now, just the last word. Why is it necessary for us to kind of know how God reveals Satan to us in Scripture? I believe that the names of Satan, if we understand what the names mean, it gives us a warning. It warns us that we can know who Satan is and how he functions, so that we will not be found or caught off guard by Satan. But ultimately, I believe it's there so that we can resist the devil. We spoke about that before. But how do we resist the devil? It's not because I know the names of the devil and I know certain workings of the devil. No, that's not. The way that I resist the devil is what James chapter 4 verse 7 says. Submit yourselves to the Lord. And then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to the Lord. So as I submit myself to God, and I am under God's authority and under God's control, then I resist the devil and he will flee from us. Because when Satan then, how can I say, confronts me, he is confronting me, but I'm submitted to God. I'm submitted to the will of God. I'm submitted to do what God wants me to do. All right, and because I'm submitted to what God wants, and because I'm doing what God wants, and I'm focused on God, that is resisting the devil. Okay, it's not this, oh, I'm fighting the devil, or I'm saying, you go away from me. You know, that all that kind of stuff that people do, that's all artificial nonsense. No, we submit ourselves to God and do what God wants and focus on him and worship and glorify him. And as I do that and continue to do it in obedience to whatever God wants me to do, I am resisting the devil. Okay. And what happens is when he comes to us and we do God's will and we react in the way that God wants us to react and we quote Scripture like Christ quoted Scripture and we stand firm in our submission to God, James says that Satan will flee from us. Okay. I actually forgot to show you this beautiful photo. But anyway, there's a beautiful photo that just shows the sun. It looks so beautiful. All right, so Let's close our eyes and have a word of prayer as we conclude the names of Satan. Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us, and thank you for who you are. Thank you that you've revealed to us who Satan is in his nature, so that we can know how he works. But thank you above all that we can submit to you and do your will, and that we can know that in doing so we resist the devil and he will flee from us. Enable us this week, Father, to really truly submit to you, to do whatever you want, so that your name may be glorified in and through our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening and watching. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Until next time, God willing. Bye-bye.